let me ask you now to consider, Dr. Conte here? Thanks.
Yes, he's here.
Would you please come forward, Dr. Conte? Dr. Conte, you and I were in Washington, D.C. Last week, along with other members of the staff. Could you please enlighten the board as to why we were there?
Could you use the mic, please?
May I ask Mr. Dawson to join me?
Absolutely.
We were there to launch the TLMP, which is the Textbook Teaching and Learning Materials Program video, and also to celebrate the 3 years that the program has achieved in Africa. And that means we, all the MSI, which is the minority serving institutions, which are six of them, six of us were able to actually develop, print in Africa and deliver 10.5 million books in five African countries. Chicago State by itself actually produced about 2.5 million books for the Ghana project. And those books were printed in Ghana. And we were able to actually reach 1.6 million children and 22,000 teachers within 14 districts that are deprived in Ghana. The program was launched because of its achievement. And during that period, other universities that are part of the program invited their president. We are fortunate enough to have our own board of trustees there, who is the only board of trustees that actually attended. Other schools only have their presidents to attend. And also Dr. Emma Brooks Williams attended, and Felicia Horton, who is the media, also attended the meeting. But what happened there is that the TLMP actually won the Telly Award, which is one of the highest award in equivalent to the Emmy for documentaries. So we actually won that award for our work in Africa. And because of that, they renew our grant for another $13 million for the next 3 years to work in Africa. And during this period, we are supposed to produce about 3 million books, a minimum of 3 million books. What the TLMP has done is in collaboration with the College of Education and also with our Ghana partners, we've written 16 textbooks. And we finished field testing 8 more textbooks, which will be printed very soon by December. 2 of them will be printed by December.
Thank you very much. Here's the I was pleased to be there representing our school. And quite frankly, I was somewhat suspect. Because I had not heard most of what I'd gotten about the about the Ghana project, questioned its fiscal and financial efficacy. And we did not have, I suspect, a good feel of the substance of the prior contract. But standing there in the stead of our incoming president, Dr. Wayne Watson, who was not able to go because he wasn't the president, I felt very proud of Chicago State University to know that we had, in fact, delivered on the contract and provided over 3 million,
2.5 million
books, and engaged 22,000 teachers in Ghana, on the continent of Africa. And to know that the work that we had accomplished under the prior contract justified and supported us being awarded a new contract, and listen to the number. The new contract is for $13 million from the USAID to allow us to continue the work in Ghana. And I want to say this, I was very proud and of this school and what it has done as it relates to the Ghana project and what it promises to do going forward. So I'd like for the board to know, and for those of you who are here, that our work in Africa was rewarded by a continuation, another $13 million. I asked the program officer about the sense of our work, I mentioned to her that we, as the board, would continue to monitor and use close oversight on this continuing grant. She appreciated the fact that the board was going to be closely monitoring the grant going forward, but she also said, in spite of whatever may have occurred in the prior year, we still believe in Chicago State as a competent provider of these services. And so, Dr. Conte and your staff, I think that you are to be commended. Yes. There's a resolution. Would you read the resolution?
The one in the book or the one that was handed?
The one here.
One adopted one.
Okay, I'll read it. Whereas the United States Aid for International Development, USAID, entered into an agreement in 2005 for the purpose of providing funded for Chicago State University to provide textbooks to Ghana, Africa, for primary to third grade children to enhance the quality of education. Whereas on September 2009, USAID awarded Chicago State University a grant in the amount of $13 million for a period of $30 million for a period of 3 years to continue with this textbook program to the Ghanaian children. Therefore, the Chicago State University Board of Trustees authorizes the university to enter into this agreement to execute the terms and the agreement of the agreement. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Second.
It has been moved and second. Roll call.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. So ordered. Thank you very much. I think
there's another one.
There's another one, the one in the book.
The program review.
Okay.
You know, I just want to say in terms of to Dr. Conte, it's almost as if we owe you an apology in terms of what happened almost 2 years ago when there was all this criticism about the Ghana project. And I know you had worked very hard, your staff had worked very hard, and now that we see that it's, quote, legitimate, we do appreciate everything that has happened and commend you.
Mm-hmm. The final resolution on this matter is found in our book. Mm-hmm.
Somebody could just move adoption of the written resolution.
Yes,
I move adoption of the written resolution.
It's been moved.
Second.
It's been moved in second?
Second.
Yes, it was moved in second. Roll call.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. Is there a motion to adjourn to executive session?
I make that motion.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
You're supposed to say for what reason.
Oh, for what reason? I'm sorry.
Discuss employment matters and legal matters.
To discuss employment matters and legal matters.
And I second the motion.
It's been seconded.
Collective bargaining.
And collective bargaining.
And collective bargaining.
And collective.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. We're now in executive session. We have turned to executive session.
I mean, just the power retention rates and things like that. That's common at even UI State.
The 457
The board is now back in the session, yes.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board direct Attorney Dunn to draft an agreement, our first amendment to the presidential employment agreement, consistent with the draft that we reviewed and with any such other amendments as may be necessary and appropriate.
You've heard the motion. Is there a second?
I second.
Been properly moved and second?
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
The next action?
Next item.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of a resolution that appears in our board book as it relates to the 457F plan.
A second.
Been properly moved and second. Are you ready to vote?
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
And, Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the labor agreement with Local 144 as presented in the resolution.
I second it.
Been properly moved and second?
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Now it's a public comment.
Now we have public comment. I have asked Trustee Tolliver to chair the meeting. He will now assume the chair of the meeting.
There are public comments. We will entertain them at this point, please. Please identify yourself.
Benji Taylor, head basketball coach here for the men's team. Okay. I was just wondering if one of these 1 through 17 is to have our doctors paid from last year so we can get coverage with our trainers and we don't have physicals for our teams. And we're almost in season. I know you're not meeting again until November, and we will be
I was corrected. We're not meeting again until December.
Okay, that's even worse because we can't play games without having proper physicals for our players. And I would just like to know if one of these items are going to get our doctors paid so my players and all the other coaches can have physicals for our players because we're liable if not.
Dr. Westbrook has a response.
Okay, great.
So that you know, I received that paperwork about a week ago.
Okay.
And given the urgency of it, it has been approved.
Great.
All right.
My name is John Orebi. I'm a senior political science student here. First of all, I would like to congratulate the student representative on the board, Mr. LeVon James. Seeing you at the last meeting 2 weeks ago and today, I am confident that you will deliver for the students, and I'd like to let you know that the students are behind you, and I think what better way to start this process than you know what you did earlier, asking the student to come to you, you available to provide information. I think that's very commendable of you. We didn't have that with the last trustee. And secondly, this morning as I entered this room, I looked around and I counted 1, 2, 3, 4 weapon-carrying officers in the room. And I can't help but wonder what the real security concern is that will require 4 weapon-carrying officers at a school board of trustees meeting. I mean, it just kind of baffles me, and I would like to know what this is. And this is just my personal concern. I mean, I'm not against orderliness or civility, but I still don't understand what we require 4 weapon-carrying officers in this kind of meeting. That's all.
Thank you. Next person. What was your question?
He asked why did we need 4 weapons carrying officers.
I was diverted. Okay. I didn't hear. Why are there so many gun carrying officers in the meeting? I don't have the answer. Who does?
Good morning. This is Joaquin Searcy, and I'm Yan Searcy. I'm president of the Chicago State University Faculty Senate. And it's a comment, but it's more question-based. And because there's generally not a history of responses to questions, so I suppose this is rhetorical, but I would like it to be in the record. The first question is about meeting times. I had made this comment before about 7:30 in the morning. There's a number of our students and faculty members who have childcare responsibilities, and 7:30 in the morning is generally not a great meeting time. I did do some research around the state. I believe that we're the only board of trustees that begins its meetings at 7:30 in the morning. There are some that start their meetings at 4 o'clock, 4:30, some at 6. I'm also a member of the Council of Illinois University Senates, and they meet in the evening so that they get constituencies that may not be represented in the mornings that get to come there in the evening. Yes, Joaquin, okay, I'm getting to that point. So my real question then is, or concern is that would you please consider having another meeting time? And I do realize that as a board of trustees, you're responsible for serving the public trust, not personal trust and personal schedules, but please consider the schedules of the students as well as other faculty members at this university and consider another meeting time besides 7:30 a.m. So Joaquin's telling me I better just leave that. I'll let Dr. Beverly go. All right.
Thank you.
Uncle Phil.
Philip Beverly, History, Philosophy, Political Science. Just jotted down a number of things I'd like to bring to your attention. There was some mention of the Higher Learning Commission mandated visit for spring of 10. And one of the things that was mentioned in the all-campus assembly, and I'm sure we'll hear it as a sort of constant refrain, is how transparent our process is going to be. And I find that a bit troubling because we don't have a history of transparency here. And Trustee James actually made mention of two of the systemic dysfunctions of the university. One is in communication, and the other is in accountability. And until those sort of fundamental issues get addressed, the sort of more surface issues like accreditation, I think we'll find difficult to manage. I noticed there was quite a bit of conversation about the check disbursement and how smoothly that process went, and I'm glad, and I actually had opportunity to comment or receive comments from students about it, and they were very happy, and yet some of them asked, well, why can't we get direct deposit? And it seems like there'd be a tremendous cost savings to the university for direct deposit, and we wouldn't have sort of very highly paid administrators directing students at the Convocation Center for check disbursement. They could be sort of doing their primary duties. As you probably know, we have several search processes ongoing, and I'd like to commend the chairs of those processes for their very deliberate and thoughtful and well-managed efforts that we will endeavor to follow adhere to the principles of good searches, since we seem to have been troubled by that. I've noticed there's also a proliferation of administrators in the athletics department and a decrease in the number of coaches, which is a little troubling. And that's just in multiple sports. We have one trainer, and if one team is traveling one place and one team's traveling another place, a team doesn't have a trainer, and that's troubling. We have no physicals for our athletes. The NCAA will smack us, and that's the least of our worries, because God forbid one of our athletes end up in an emergency room because they passed out, their attorney is going to come to us and say, hey, take a look at that physical that they had before they started practice that season, and we will be just out of luck. That is unconscionable, and I would expect this board to exhibit some leadership and make sure that that doesn't happen anymore. And finally, I'm concerned about our emergency management efforts here at the university. In the emergency management area, H1N1 is probably highest priority right now. and CDC is expecting about 40% of Americans to be affected in the next flu season by H1N1. And we have circumstances for the perfect storm of H1N1 here, the aforementioned athletics programs with athletes that travel, that are in airports, that are in other places, potentially bringing back H1N1 to the germ incubator known as a dormitory. And do we have a plan on how we might isolate students who are in dormitories, particularly out-of-state students who wouldn't necessarily have any other place to go? We need to do some continuity of operations planning, which the university, to my knowledge, has never done. And we need to work on our NIMS compliance, our National Incident Management System compliance. I talked to the compliance officer for the Illinois Emergency Management Agency recently, and she assured me that we're not alone as a university in terms of our emergency management activities, and yet we're not where we should be. And I would expect that the incoming chief administrator would put quite a bit of emphasis on that. Finally, I'm really interested in, from FY01, tuition at Chicago State was $2,364, and 8 years later it was $6,870. And there was no subsequent increase in university scholarships, according to the Higher Learning Commission response to our report. And now we have this MAP funding issue. And I understand that Trustee Finney is going to be seeing the speaker tomorrow to work on that. The number one reason, as I understand it, and I'm absolutely open to being incorrect here, that our students don't graduate in the time that they need to graduate isn't necessarily anything that we're doing. It's the absence of financial aid. What we do know is that our students will often have to take a year off to work to generate enough revenue to come back to school. Now, if we don't choose to address that problem and we sort of try and have all these other administrative fixes to show that we're doing the job and we miss the point, we really disserve our students. And sort of, how dare we?
Dr. Westbrook, you had a comment, a response to comment?
I wanted to respond specifically regarding the direct deposit for students, so that individuals that are here are fully aware of what has been implemented, including our trustees. Number one, the direct deposit initiative was rolled out effective spring 2009. And it was rolled out in an effort to really see how much interest there was among the students. You may recall that we entered into a collaboration with U.S. Bank, which was the test case. And subsequent to that, the communication that has gone out to students, and we did it again during check disbursement, as well as we are asking the student leadership to also assist us in getting the word out to other students. Effective January 1, 2010, students will only have two options for check disbursement. One, direct deposit, either with U.S. Bank or a bank of their choice, because many students already have bank accounts. So they can use the bank of their preference. If they select not to have direct deposit, it will be a choice that they've made. The only other remaining option will be to have the checks mailed. We will not have arena check disbursement like we've done this semester, and because we think that other institutions, they require direct deposit for all of their students. And we know that it has to be a gradual process with our students. So effective January, because we have to give students sufficient notice, effective January 1, 2010, students will have two options, direct deposit, bank of choice. If they can't get bank of choice, they can always open up a checking account with U.S. Bank. And the only other option will be direct mailing. Now, having said that, I want to respond. There were a few questions raised during the process. Some students indicated that they had direct deposit.
that they had signed up with U.S. Bank. And I want to quell that so that everyone is informed. We know also we must make certain that students are aware if there's no activity on their account for 6 months, it's just like other banks, they drop you. Also, there were some assumptions made, and this is unfortunate, and it's about us doing a better job in informing students that just because you make application for direct deposit does not mean, even with your own personal bank, that they will accept it. We had incidents where students did not have a very good credit history. Therefore, some of the banks dropped them, including U.S. Bank, because that was some information that was out there floating that if you can't get credit anywhere else or you can't open up an account, U.S. Bank will honor it. No. U.S. Bank will also do the same credit check as other banks. The other thing was when students had no activity for 6 months, they didn't understand the nuances. So it has to be more than just open up the account. There has to be at least some activity during that 6 month period. But again, in terms of communication, and I know that we have to do it at least once a month, if not four times a month, to just constantly remind the students the date is approaching. And so what we've done is effective. We are trying to encourage the students to come in before November because it does take a while to process. And if a student comes in with a check that has a void written across it because we need the routing number, that was another issue. Some of the students did not bring in a check and they wanted to be processed. And guess what? The wrong routing number was provided. So they assumed that they would have direct deposit and they didn't. So it's important that if the students want to use bank of preference, that they bring in a void check so that our staff and the bursar's office can do what it needs to do to ensure that they have direct deposit in place effective on January. Secondly, I also like to respond to a comment that Dr. Beverly made regarding transparency. And I think that, you know, we all strive to improve. And as a result of that, I received an email request and phone request from Dr. Searcy regarding how many faculty members were on the search committees. And we had representation because it is required according to the search bylaws and procedures that we would have representation from the faculty, from students, and you can attest to this, Trustee James, civil service and administration. So we have followed those guidelines for every search that's being conducted currently. And we have asked for input relative to the task force. That was one of the first things that I did. I went to Faculty Senate and I asked, could you please provide me with a recommendation of which faculty members should serve on that very important committee or task force? And those names were provided. So, you know, we're trying. And is there room for improvement? Most definitely. And all I can do is commit to we will continue to try.
Thank you. Yes.
Would you make a brief response? As far as the direct deposit, especially with the routing numbers, if we could, and we'll probably have maybe some initiatives going forward to get students to sign up for direct deposit in the future. And when we do that, if a student is absent of their routing number, you can actually Google what your routing number is by bank and by state, and that information is readily available. So if there's a need for us to possibly have a computer at the table with internet access to where we can do that, I'm sure that whatever administrator is responsible for that area would be willing to provide that resource. Exactly. As far as choice of banks and students not making deposits into their accounts,
U.S. Bank, there's probably like two branches that I know of personally in Chicago, and none of them are located in the general vicinity of this community. When I speak of this community, I'm speaking between the parameters of Halsted to Stony Island from 103rd to 87th. Along with that, as far as choice of banks, I think that if we were to offer maybe an active directory here at the university, which allows for students to have direct deposit and things of that nature, employment tracking and all of that, if we were to employ that particular service, we could actually provide direct deposit not only for disbursement, but we could also provide direct deposit for you know, our student employ, which would, you know, I don't know what the numbers are, but that is a good number of our students, and maybe work could pass through that area as well. Finally, getting the info out to the students. You may mention that you have reached out to student organizations to help with that. Maybe it would be a good idea for us to include it in some of our programming, getting out other ways of maybe whoever we have to MC whatever events, maybe get word out that way. But it is not necessarily entirely our responsibility to get that information out. That job is left to the individuals who we have employed to do so. And that's all I had to say about that issue.
Okay.
Would you identify yourself, please?
Dominique Westmoreland. I'm a political science major. I came here some time ago, and I noticed that when you look at your tuition fees and stuff like that on CSU Express, it used to be detailed. Now it's all in one lump sum. I would really like to know what I'm paying for with that $555. I need more details, knowing that if I'm paying for computer fees, activity fees, athletic fees, I need to know what I'm paying for with my money. So I think you guys need to go back to the old way and be more detailed, because that lump sum of $555 for full-time students and whatever it is for part-time, that's not sufficient enough for me. I need to know what I'm giving you. If I'm going to give you my financial aid dollars and my loan dollars, I need a detailed report of what I'm paying for.
Thank you.
Dr. Westbrook?
Yes.
Thank you, Dominic, for sharing your concerns. And you're absolutely right. You expressed that concern, I believe, the end of spring term. Immediately, a committee was formed to actually respond to those concerns. That committee is comprised of not only administrators, it's chaired by Dean Milo, Dean of the Honors College, and it also has, I think, three or four students on it. And what the charge for that committee was, to actually do exactly what she's recommending, to actually look at the billing statement and to make recommendations to IT how the appearance and what needs to be factored out, what needs to be detailed, and getting the input from the students who are on that committee, I think will assist. And if you'd like, I could ask at the next board meeting, have more information regarding where we are with those recommendations and implementation.
Thank you.
How you all doing? My name is Ashton Valentine. I am a resident here on Chicago State campus. So 24 times 7, that's 168 hours I'm here on campus. If you add in my, 21 hours a week in class, my 15 hours a week with work, and let's add on more time with that to study, I have a vast gap here on campus. And it's not enough activities here, like not even activities, just like it's more to me, it's more faculty and staff accommodations than you have student accommodations. If you go in these faculties and staff offices, they have big widescreen computers and stuff. The dorm kids don't have a computer lab. And if you look at the game room cannot even accommodate over 40 students at a time. So with that said, we need more student accommodations and more things, more resources going into putting into these buildings. The student union is the only place that have a place for students to go. If you go into these other buildings, let's say Harold Washington, there's only a couch there. And many students need more. more here for the students to stay, and I was here 168 hours with my work 50, that's 41 hours a week. There's, I need more on campus, more, because I'm spending a lot of money, and I don't believe I'm getting my money's worth. That's all. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Yes.
Because I think it's about sharing information. And I just want to assure the student that we do take the student concerns seriously. Another initiative that we rolled out that's going on right now, we extended library hours. The library is now open until 12 midnight, Monday through Thursday, and then again on Sunday. That's the first one. So there is another place where students, because we have the study rooms, and we really want the students to take advantage of it. And I'm sitting here, I do remain concerned because we have put resources into ensuring that the students would have accessibility to the library until midnight. That was the first. Regarding other social activities, we extended the hours in the fitness center, the swimming pool, the gymnasium, help me out, game room, over in SUB, Cordell Reed, SUB. And I think it's about us getting the information out to students. I mean, we have flyers, and we know the university is flooded with flyers, all types of material that you have to read, and sometimes things get lost. An email blast went out to every student. The response that I heard, sometimes the students may not have gotten it because they haven't emptied their email boxes. And so therefore, once the box is filled, you cease to receive any additional email. So I'm hoping that now that, I mean, Trustee James, as well as the students who are present, they could help us, you know, get the word out to other students so we can indeed take advantage of those extended hours in the various facilities.
Thank you.
At my last meeting, I commended you all for extending them hours.
Yes, you did.
I know, because I work from 7 to 12 at night in the library, but I think my words got, like, confused. Like, although we have that game room cannot even accommodate 10% of the Chicago State students. We have to wait probably 2 hours. Like, it's just not enough, that little space.
What about in JDC?
The JDC, we do that. Our people play basketball. They do all that. But I'm saying for all the students we have, that
you would like us to have other
options. I think we need to expand on the game room we have, bring it, like, more things to the, like, for the students. I know that you all extended the hours, but extending the hours is not enough. You don't have services and activities for that time.
Okay. I think I understand a bit of what he's saying. What he's saying is that, yes, there has been attempts made to make, you know, the university experience greater than what it has been. Mm-hmm. However, the experience is still not where it needs to be. And he's actually speaking volumes to a larger issue that's plagued other universities. I believe I'm quoting Dr. Watson from a meeting where he was saying that University of Illinois had removed their football team from University of Chicago had removed their football team from the from their, they just weren't going to fund it anymore. They weren't going to do it. And later on, they had issues with why students, the top-ranked students, weren't coming to University of Chicago. And it was because the university experience was not complete, that they wanted that football team. And here at Chicago State, though I'm not saying we need to go ahead and get a football team, although that would be something that I would like to see in the future, we should be spending the money and making sure that the university experience to which we can provide is that is not necessarily beneficial to what we are willing to put out there, but what is what they want, not what we want, mm-hmm. but not what I want. Or
So we need to expand not only on our hours, but also, you know, have more of what we have.
Yes.
Like additional game rooms. And, yeah. And I think that as we begin to look at the master plan for the university under Dr. Watson's leadership, those things will be taken into consideration.
Thank you. We need a motion for adjournment. I would just say that I work very closely with the University of Chicago Office of Community Relations, and they also take into account the Hyde Park environment, because when you what students also talk about availability of nearby off-campus options, so it's not just the campus, but so when you do that master plan, you've got to look beyond the borders of the college of what are the options across the street, because students want to get off campus to affordable options. I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
I move that we adjourn. Mm-hmm. Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Montez?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Oh. Thank you.